Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Until 2, that is Gardner Roberts. Teague and Thierry rolling with you until then. 877-337-6666. We will get back to those calls. More tweets as well. By the way, somebody just sent. Now, we got to bleep out the old station. Somebody just sent the old Mac and Tierney theme song.
Nice.
It is an old school rap. It's not bad, Huff. I have not heard that in a long time. It's pretty good, right?
Listen, I was grooving to it.
It's pretty good. Maybe we'll mess around with that a little later. Right now, we mess around with the Yankees because they are the Yankees. And this guy's been entrenched with the stadium, with the station, probably forever. I mean, Sweetie Murdy is the man. He's a good dude, knows his Yankees, beat reporter for the Yankees here on The Fan. He's got a good piece as well. He wrote it. It's up on odyssey.com/sports about the Hall of Fame. So we got a lot of different things to hit. Murdy, what's happening, buddy? How are you?
Hello, fellas. How you doing? I love it. Even when I get my hair cut really, really short, you guys make me look good.
Yeah, I hear you. I'll give yourself that much credit.
Ours are not by choice, obviously. Sweeney, what is your article about? I'm getting ready to pull it up and talk about it, but because we'll talk about this obviously with the Hall of Fame around the corner. What are you talking about in the article?
Well, there's a lot of different things in it, simply because this is. Arguably and probably correctly, the most talked about Hall of Fame ballot ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're in the last year of the Bonds and Clemens, and because you have A-Rod and Ortiz, and all the PED stuff is really coming to a head, plus Curt Schilling and everything that's going on there. So there's a lot happening, and with no game, this is kind of all we're talking about right now.
Yep.
So with all the questions about it, I don't have a vote, so I'm not able to sit here and tell you, here's my ballot and here are my reasons, but I'm an interested party. I work around the game of baseball, and I'm a baseball fan, and I love the Hall of Fame as a museum, as a building, and as a town and all that. So I'm an interested party. I had a lot of thoughts on things that just my own feelings and things that I've talked to other people about in regard, and you're really just kind of breaking down like how what we're really talking about when we're talking about how hard it is to get 75%
to people
to agree that this person is a Hall of Famer. I mean, Bonds and Clemens have been over 60% for 3 years. That's good enough to win any election in this country. It's good enough to win almost anything else that you're trying to debate, but it's not good enough to win a Hall of Fame. And there are subtleties and differences in every individual PED issue between Bonds, Clemens, Ortiz, A-Rod, Manny, all those things that you have to just sit and I want to just sit and kind of explain it from where I sit.
Yep.
Because I think we try to lump everything in together and say it's this or it's that. Well, it's just complex. There's a lot of layers to it, and I just wanted to address it.
Well, I'm looking at the tracker now. Ortiz, a little bit below 84%. Barry Bonds is tracking 77.2%. Clemens, 76%. About 160-plus ballots are in. There's 300-plus, a little more than 350, so a little less than halfway home in terms of the known ballots. So this thing can change, and the expectation is that Bonds nor Clemens will get in. But there's this new thing, and I mentioned this to John Heyman yesterday, the New Era Committee, which encompasses, I want to say, 1988 through 2016, which obviously would open up the window of discussion for Bonds and Clemens, but also Mattingly and Keith Hernandez and some other names that maybe if you believe that they should be in. So even if Bonds and Clemens don't get in on their 10th and final year on the ballot here, they could get it next year. Really, if you think about it.
It wouldn't be next year. I think there's a process here to, first of all, the ballot you're talking about, it happens every 3 years, and they rotate the eras of players that the veterans committee, so to speak, votes on. So they don't get a chance every year. And I don't know that they would be put on right away because, they've had 10 years here to be on the ballot. And I think you let this breathe a little bit and get into it's one of the reasons that you wait on players instead of just waiting for a player to retire and say, OK, is he Hall of Fame or not? You need perspective. You need the guy to be out of the spotlight for a little bit and then say, OK, what do these numbers really mean? Because his era isn't over yet. Mm. And, I don't think that they will probably get through whatever weeding out process it takes to get to that next ballot.
Yeah.
But I don't believe it's going to be, okay, we're just going to we'll have a different vote group of people vote on them next year and then get him in. I don't think it's that simple.
Okay. So we're talking to Sweeney Murdy, and Sween is the beat reporter, longtime beat reporter for the Yankees here with WFAN, writes for Odyssey as well. So you make sure you check that out.
Yep.
We'll tweet it out from our show account as well. Get you a little pop on there with the article there, Sween.
Easiest to find it. Odyssey.com/WFAN.
Perfect.
That's how you find it. It's easier that way.
I love it. All right. So the 2022 Yankees right now, hopefully incomplete, hopefully a project that is still being built. We know all the names. It probably complicated a bit with Correa now aligning himself with Scott Boras. That's probably an extra $30 or $50 million minimally. But we've heard Olson from the A's. We've heard Chapman maybe is an experimental shortstop 1 year, whatever. Trevor Story's out there. What is the realistic plan? How much money do you think they're willing to spend, and who are the main targets? What are we going to do here?
Well, every one of those is pretty realistic. I don't think the Chapman as a full-time shortstop is something that was a realistic, this is our plan A or B type of thing. I think what it does show you is that how much value Matt Chapman has and how versatile a player he is, how athletic a player he is. I don't think the plan is, hey, let's just put him in shortstop. I think the Yankees have found out the last couple of years that they need not just to put somebody at shortstop. They need a player who is a shortstop. There's a difference. Like Gleyber Torres wasn't that player. Sure. So to sit there and say, move this guy, I mean, they are still in the market for a shortstop, a real shortstop. And where that goes, the reason they're sitting here and some other players come off the board is because you don't know what the rules are for 22 or really for 22 through 27, right? What are the next 5 years hold in the CBA? And until you know what rules you're playing by, none of the big teams have really spent. The Yankees and the Red Sox haven't really done much. The Dodgers spent a little bit only because they re-signed Chris Taylor. Otherwise, they haven't really spent a whole lot of money.
The Mets have.
We need to see what their ground rules are before they make big expenditures.
The Mets have. Mets spent.
The Mets did. The Mets did because they were under it before, and the Mets ended up, they're in a completely new situation. Here's the thing with the Mets, okay? And obviously Steve Cohen is new into this game, and he's making his mark. But how much farther is he going to go when his team starts getting hit with luxury tax thresholds and he starts giving up money in the draft, money in international draft, and is losing the ability to stock a farm system? When a couple of years from now you say, okay, oh, well, we can't trade for that player because they don't like our farm system. It's because we didn't get enough draft picks back. We lost international money, and we're not getting those players. Plus, on top of that, how much farther is he going to go? Manny Machado can opt out of his contract in 2 years. Is he going to give another $150, $200 million to Manny Machado? How many of these big contracts? Steve Cohen's brand new into this, and he's made a big splash probably because he had to, but everybody else who's used to spending big money hasn't really done it yet.
Hmm. Interesting. You mentioned the Stevie Cohen Mets, and this is actually, I have to give credit to Hoff on this one, our producer, because he brought this to, I mean, we kind of thought about this, but he brought it more detail into our attention. So Aaron Judge is in an interesting spot with the Yankees, as obviously as we all know. It's kind of like we're just waiting for him to get that big contract. It's been that way for the last couple of years. But it's not likely to happen this offseason. Why? Because we're going to go until April, hopefully April, maybe even May, before they get into camp. And he's not going to be able to sign a deal before the start of the regular season. He won't work on a deal during the season because he knows he's leaving money on the table with free agency right around the corner. And so it just creates this opportunity for him as a free agent. And if he becomes a free agent, anybody's coming with cash. In particular, Stevie Cohen.
Stop. Right? Stop. I mean,
this is, it's not something that's real. I'm not saying that people are talking about this, but it's potential. And if I'm Steve Cohen.
I thought about it.
Right? What are they doing with Aaron Judge?
That would be torture.
It would be torture. But if you're Steve Cohen.
What you're talking about is exactly what I mean about the Mets and Steve. Like, how much farther? Like, he spent a lot of money, okay? But they've got Francisco Lindor. They signed Max Scherzer to all this. They've got, you know, they're going to have to sign Pete Alonso.
Yeah,
they've
Brom.
Got Jacob Brom. They've got all these guys. They've got a lot of money tied up in a lot of these players. Are they still going to keep going after more, or is there going to come a day where they say, you know what, maybe we should sign this other guy for 2 years and $8 million to fill out the fifth starter spot, or maybe we need to go sign this guy in a one-year deal, minor league deal, and hope he can compete for our outfield. There's going to be a day when that happens.
No, let me just challenge you on that. I disagree. This is a different brand of spend. This is Stevie Cohen, who's got $8 billion next to his name, who wants to usurp the Yankees, and he's a Mets fan. I put no limits on what this man's willing to spend. None.
Okay, but what Tiki is talking about is exactly what I thought about. Where is the limit then?
Yeah.
You're going to go after Aaron Judge. You're going to go after Manny Machado. Are you going to go after every other, Max Fried is going to be a free agent, I think, in another 2 years. You know, how many of these guys are you willing to add at $30 million a pop and incur the penalties? Because then what's going to happen? You're going to have injuries. Okay. How are we going to fix this guy? Well, let's go trade for this guy. Can't trade for this guy. We don't have the prospects to trade for him.
Yeah.
So why? Because we lost all the international money and draft picks when we signed all these free agents. And now we got no young players anybody wants.
Yeah, but
it's going to come back to bite you at some point.
True, but it would be exciting as hell for Mets fans.
And
what a way to start a tenure.
Right? This is great for us.
Yep.
Absent Stevie Cohen stealing Aaron Judge from us, but what do you think is going to happen with Aaron Judge and the Yankees? Like, what kind of deal is he going to get, and when will it happen?
Not till after this season. I think part of the things you're right is that I think what's happened now has really hurt him because when the lockout ends, you're going to be in this big frenzy to try to get a lot. You know, they need a shortstop for this year, first baseman, maybe a center fielder, catcher, another pitcher, all these things for this year. Aaron Judge signing a contract extension is not a priority. And if you have two or three weeks to get deals done before you start a spring training camp, well then, you know, that's not going to happen. As you talked about, having a deal like that happen during the season isn't realistic.
Nope.
So you wait till the end of the season. And in my mind, that's not a bad thing for the Yankees. What was the one thing you really wanted to see last year? You wanted to see him play. You wanted to see him stay on the field.
Yeah, I hear you. But just to hear you say Aaron Judge is not a priority, it just makes you like go, oh, really?
He's face of the franchise, right? But he can't be priority number one when you've got all these holes to fill and he's under contract. And frankly, I would wait for him to put up another healthy year. It's not like I'm going to get a discount by trying to sign Aaron Judge, nor do I need one if I'm the New York Yankees. Let's just wait till you get through the season, because if you really want him, you're going to have the chance to get him.
So that is Sweeney Murdy, of course, Yankee beat reporter with us here on Tiki and Tierney on the Fan. Speaking of holes, listen, I'm just done with Gary Sanchez. I can't watch this guy try to play baseball anymore. Mm-hmm. Loafing after balls, jogging down the line, not always in great shape, automatically digs in the box, it's 0-2, always swinging to the fences. I understand that he stumbles upon some bombs just based on bat speed and strength, but he has devolved as a hitter. He has regressed. His strike zone knowledge is horrendous. He's probably a little bit of a better defensive catcher than he's positioned to be, but his IQ is incredibly low. What is the fascination? And I'll use that word because as long as he's on the team, they're still fascinated with him. What is the fascination internally with this guy? Why is he still the Yankee?
Well, I think for the, you know, you had a couple of years there where he was still under a reasonable cost control when you compare it to what's out there and what you could possibly get. And the idea, his offense is a factor because, you know, it, you're talking about playing in a ballpark where you want it. Guys to hit the ball out to right center and left center. And Gary Sanchez can provide that for you better than any other player who's catching around the big leagues right now, right? There aren't very many of these guys that can go out there and catch that many games and put up that kind of offense. A couple of guys, you know, Real Muto, probably sure. But what was always, what you're always trying to do is you're trying to build on his potential while he was still in cost control. Now he's making about $8 million in arbitration this year. That's not cost control anymore. This is his last year. They brought him back for one more year because there weren't enough attractive options out there to just get rid of him. There's not a lot of major league ready catching depth in the Yankees organization to try to fill that hole. You probably need to sign, you know, two guys and think about, you know, very few players anymore are catching 100 plus games. So you're probably going to need to split that duty a little bit and kind of mix and match as opposed to one guy. All that, you're getting a guy on a one-year contract who is going to be playing for his future. Doesn't have to be with the Yankees. He's playing for his future. So what kind of shape is he going to come in? What kind of numbers is he going to put up? Those are all good. You know, what his selfish needs are going to help you as a team in 2022 because he's playing for his next contract.
Yeah. Now, here's the interesting thing about this Yankees squad, Sweeney. I think you probably feel this as well. You know that the Yankees are trying to build through their farm system, right? They wanted to do it somewhat organically. But at the same time, they're a team that feels ready to win. Is a reconciliation that needs to happen. And part of that is with their staff. And Gerrit Cole signing last year was a big deal.
Severino healthy
Severino,
helps. Big
exactly.
Time.
No, Jermaine, etc. Like, there's so many other issues that, with the rotation that you have to address. And I'm just looking at the available arms, right? A lot of them are old. Like
Montgomery's decent.
Yeah, exactly. Danny Dutt. Like, there's guys that are out there that just don't excite you. Where are they going for the rotation?
I like Montgomery a lot, actually, and Severino back healthy is a really big key, as you mentioned, BT. Mm-hmm. Pitching is not their big problem. Do they need to add a starter? Sure, maybe, but I don't think it's their big issue. Even bullpen, they're with Britton's injury, they've still got some arms out there that that are exciting and did well last year. Jonathan Loaisiga and Clay Holmes, and, you know, another year, Chad Green. I feel like there are, Lucas Litke was valuable just because of how many times he was available to you.
Mm-hmm.
Pitching wasn't their problem. Yeah. They couldn't score last year. They couldn't score. So that's what their big fix is. And that's why shortstop and center field and even catcher has to have some sort of offensive component to it. And you're putting this puzzle together. As far as trying to build through, listen, the window on the baby bombers closed. It didn't end successfully because it didn't end with a World Series championship. Remember, Aaron Judge is a year away from free agency. Gleyber Torres is in arbitration. Gary Sanchez is a year away from free agency. That baby bombers era is over.
Yeah.
And for various reasons, it didn't, they ran into Houston. They had a pandemic. You know, a lot of these things just got in their way. And, you know, excuses or whatever, there were reasons, and they didn't finish. They have one more chance with a group here before they have to make the long-term commitments and start thinking about it. But building from within is about getting cost control and production from, you know, and value out of that production. You're always going to be able to supplement. But again, the luxury tax threshold is a factor for the Yankees and the Red Sox more than other teams for one very big reason. You know, the money that you pay over isn't something they can't afford. They can afford it, but it doesn't go to charity. Part of that goes to the Tampa Bay Rays, who are already really good, really good at spending money efficiently. And if you give them an extra couple of million, you know, they're going to go out and get another pitcher who can beat you. They're going to go out and trade for Nelson Cruz, who can beat you. You are subsidizing your
great
competition
point.
When you go over that threshold.
Yeah.
That's why it's more important for the Yankees and the Red Sox than it is for a lot of other teams.
Yeah,
great point.
Doesn't that then mean that when the Sanchez's and the Judges come free and the Yankees have to make a decision, they're more likely to say, let's start over?
Not with Judge. Sanchez is gone.
Right. I think they've made the decision on Sanchez. Basically, it's like, you know what? there's not enough out there to replace him right now. So roll the dice again for one more year. But, you know, your option after this is signing Gary Sanchez to a multi-year deal. Are you going to do that?
No, you're not. No chance.
You know that's not happening. Okay. But again, as I said, bring it back, one-year deal, offense, pair him with another catcher. You know, you'll get some value out of that. Judge is a different story, and I think you have to see him healthy for another full year to determine, okay, how far do I have to go here? Do I have to go 7 years, 6 years, 5 years? You know it's going to be a lot of money, and you know his value to the team and to the franchise and the fan base and all that. But now you have a decision to make, and you're making these – remember, let's just remember – another comparison to when I say this baby bombers era is over. Every great Yankee you can think of, okay, besides Mattingly, who played in an era where he didn't get to compete for a championship, Thurman Munson, who had to wait a little bit later into his career, every great Yankee you can think of won World Series titles, multiples, early in their career, within their first 3-4 years. You know, Mantle, DiMaggio, Jeter, all these guys, they won multiple titles early in their career. And because they did, especially like in the case of Jeter and, you know, Bernie Williams, they were all under cost control at then. Yeah. When you started to sign the big free agent contracts, that's when things got a little bit hairy. And that's why you've kind of, you know, failure is a weird word in sports. I don't like using it a lot, but they failed in getting this group to maximize its potential while they're still under cost control.
Well, I think that they fail because they're poorly constructed. I think, and it's two different conversations, and I know you obviously know this. By the way, it's Sweeney Murdy, and we're talking Yankees. Sweeney, the great beat reporter for the Yankees here, or the Fan. Like, you can construct a great team, and either you get unlucky or you get hurt, but you're really built to win. Like, there is sound structural building of the team. The Yankees are flawed. They don't catch the ball. They don't run. They're too right-handed dominant. I mean, they're just not good enough.
I think that was more true this past year. I really do believe that the 18 and 19 teams were better built. Their flaws came out, but I think they were better built back then. And I think their win totals showed you that, and the way they competed against the rest of the league showed you that. But obviously they didn't win, so it's going to be marked down as a failure. This past year, a lot of things happened. You're right. Defensively is one of the big things where they had so many people out of position. But on top of that, again, they didn't hit the ball. Nobody saw that coming. You didn't see DJ LeMahieu and Gleyber Torres and Gio Urshela all having the kinds of years they had in 2021. That was not supposed to happen. They were supposed to maybe have some pitching issues and maybe you have some injuries that you have to deal with. The guys that were on the field all the time were supposed to hit, and they didn't. Couldn't fix that.
And by the way, we have to go. I heard, you know, kind of behind the scenes, DJ LeMahieu was a lot more banged up than he ever let on. Can you confirm that?
Well,
DJ
was a little banged up. He had surgery in the offseason.
No, but I mean, but it lingered. He had it for months.
Yeah. I think that's kind of what we're trying to piece together. And, heard the same kinds of things.
Okay.
But the idea is, you know, this is the tricky part about, and Tiki can probably really appreciate this. This is the thing we kind of, it's hard to value this when we talk about players playing hurt. We don't want players to play hurt. Mm-hmm. We want them to play great while they're hurt. And that's hard to do. Yeah. You can play hurt, but if you play a diminished value of yourself, which DJ LeMahieu obviously was, is he helping you? Is he worth it? You don't want players to play hurt. You want them to be just as great, even better, every year while they're hurt.
Just a little taste, a little taste of what's coming with Sweeney Murdy regularly here on the Fan. Yankee beat man, Sweeney, great spot. Appreciate you jumping on. Thank you very much, man.
Thanks, Sweeney.
Appreciate it.
Check out his article, audacy.com. That's audacy.com/WFAN.
I want to circle back. I know that Hoff had the thought, but Teague, you actually mentioned it to me. I think we have to explore this.
Mm-hmm.
This little teeny weeny teeny infinitesimal, barely visible, hopefully never happening possibility that Aaron Judge swooped up by Uncle Stevie. It's not completely implausible. It's not nuts. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Get some calls, 877-337-6666. Teague and Tierney up until 2. Then it's Carton Roberts right here on The Fan. Earlier today, we'll do this once a week until we run out of people, probably about at least 5 or 6 more coming up, including Russ Salzburg next week. We'll do a little...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
FAN Rewind, a little throwback to the day, and we had our buddy Jody Mack on earlier today, and somebody, hey Hoff, somebody dug up, they sent it to Hoff, and he had to edit out the old station, whatever, but they found the theme song from Mack and Tierney in 2010. We might have a little fun, but it's a rap song, and it's pretty good. Well, I remember it word for word. I hadn't heard it in a long time, man. We'll mess around with that on the air a little bit later. All right, the problem with Aaron Judge is this. He's going to be 30 in April, which does complicate things. Now, he's not getting that.
Problem for who? For
the Yankees.
Okay, go ahead.
And by extension, a problem for us, and by extension, a problem for Aaron Judge. I don't know what he's looking for. If he thinks he's getting, like, I know he's not getting 13 years like Machado and Harper.
No.
Not even close. If he thinks he's getting 10 years, not happening, nor should it.
What would you give him?
It's so hard.
You giving him like a 5-year deal?
Listen, I'd rather give him 5 years at $50 million a year and just pump up that AAV through the roof and be off the hook, you know, and not have to have this language into his mid to late 30s. See, the problem with him is his age, but, I mean, I love the guy, and we all do. He's box office. He hits bombs. He looks the part. He runs. He's got a rocket. Played some center field a year ago, which was big. He sells tickets. He's humble. He's really everything you want in a young man, like as a ball player.
I agree.
Great role model.
Came in, rookie of the year. Oh. You know, he hit 52 home runs.
Love him.
But it feels like he's been around for a long time. He's only been here 6 seasons.
I know.
That's what happens when
It's more than Reggie Jackson, though, if you think about
That's true.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
When you think about it in those terms, Reggie wasn't here that long.
True, but it felt like Reggie's, like, existed pre, you know what I mean?
Well, first of all, as soon as he came, he won, and then he won the next year.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, 77-78.
That's not what Sweeney was alluding to, but, you know, with the, you know, before they got paid out, but still.
Oh, with the championships, the guys who were younger players outside of Mattingly,
But it did happen right when he got here. It didn't happen for Aaron Judge, and, you know, it's like when you start looking at the games he's missed, 2020, only played 28 games. Right, it's just like you almost forget that season. Obviously, a lot of
But 2020 was also the COVID year.
I agree. But no, just to be fair, 28 games.
No, I know. 28 out of 62.
It's half the season.
Whatever, you know. I know. That's
so true. And you know, but
I get it.
I think Yankees fans love. I love Aaron Judge.
I love him. He's my favorite Yankees
fan. Love him, and they just and we feel like he needs to be a Yankee for.
Did you almost say a
Met? I did. Because of what I'm saying, because of what I'm thinking. Like, we feel like he needs to be a Yankee for life. But the Mets are that team that seemingly wants to do whatever they can to capture New York, like capture the airwaves, like capture the conversation. And they're doing it. I mean, you signed Scherzer, right? Right after.
God, if DeGrom is healthy, 1-2.
That's what I mean. So clearly they are going for it. Like, they're going all in. And if you were Stevie Cohen and there's an opportunity to take the Yankees' best player because they're unwilling to pay him out this long-term deal that I don't know if he deserves, but whatever, we feel like he deserves, then all right, we got you across town.
I know.
I'm not saying this because I want it to happen.
Well, you're wearing orange pants today. Maybe you do want it to happen.
I am. But I don't know. You know, my wife said to me yesterday.
They're like rust-colored pants. Yeah, what did she say? Why are you wearing those?
No, she goes, the last 3 days, you've worn a variation of black pants.
Okay.
Whether it was like the Puma pants, the golf pants I had on yesterday.
Okay.
Or it was a pair of jeans that I had on, you know, on 2 days ago, on Monday. Friday, I wore out of like these other kind of black jeans. Like, I've had black pants on for three straight days. She's like, why do you keep wearing black pants to
work? So your wife said mix it up, and of course Tiki runs to the closet and mixes it up.
It's like, all right.
If my wife said change your pants, I'd walk out the door. I wouldn't even react.
She would just bring it to my attention.
Huff, right? Imagine if you're walking out and your wife's like, you've worn black. I got to go, honey. Love you, baby. I mean, I just keep walking. There's no way I would go change.
I'm not stopping. No.
No.
She didn't say it in real time. She said it last night. And she said,
so then you ran and you laid it out.
It was just in my head. I was like, all right, I won't wear black pants today. I got
you. The thing is, and this is what I'm jealous. You look good in any pants. That's the thing. He does. He can wear anything. He looks good.
You can pull it off.
You can, because you got the body.
It's also UVA colors. That's why I have these colored pants, I think.
Yeah, I don't care. John,
I don't either, because they suck this year.
Yeah, they're not that good this year.
Basketball.
I know. They've had a great run.
That's true.
John is in Mooresville, PA. John is on the fan. What up, John?
Good afternoon, fellas.
What's happening,
man? Caller to your show.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks,
John.
For calling.
Get
Thank
him a shirt. We don't have any yet. Hopefully, we get some.
we'll give shorts and shirts at some point. What's up, John?
Okay, Tiki, I am a big fan of your brother's. He's an NFL champion.
Yeah, he is.
And he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer coming up here soon.
Well, I mean, he's already 4 years in, and he's not in the Hall of Fame. We hope it happens soon, but we'll see. We'll find out. I agree with you.
Okay, hopefully so. Brandon, my cousin Mark of South Yonkers used to call your shows all the time. He had a heart attack back about 10 years ago, and he even called your shows out in San Francisco. Mark R. It's the last initial. An expert on Mickey Mantle, the Yankees of the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s.
Yep, yep.
A good guy.
Did he pitch on? He passed away?
He is deceased.
Oh, man. Sorry to hear that. I'm really sorry to hear that. That sucks, man.
Yeah, he was in that row house where across the way the apartment building was on fire. Him and a couple of guys in a cop family saved about 100 lives by they're watching a Yankee West Coast game, and they knocked on all the doors and got like about 100 people out of a fire truck in South Yonkers.
What a hero. Wow, man. I wish I'd be lying if I said I really, really, truly remember the calls, but I mean, anybody who takes the time to call me or this show, I always have respect for it. And especially when you do something like that, saving people. Sorry to hear that, John.
That's my question. On this Yankee interview, I'm old enough, I'm 60 years old. I'm old enough to remember the days of Bud Harrelson, Ed Brinkman, and one of my favorite players, Mark Belanger of the Orioles.
Oh, great fielder. Yeah, he couldn't hit, but he was a great fielder.
They didn't hit very well, but they were great defenders. Uh-huh. And I think the Yankees should entertain the idea of signing the kid. I think his name is Velasquez from Fordham.
He's gone. He left. John, he's not on the who signed? He's gone. Velasquez from Fordham Prep is gone. He's off the roster. Somebody picked him up.
Mm. Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
okay.
I think they're going to sign Simmons. Let me take that back. If they go the defensive route, I don't know that I think they're going to say. If they go defensive route, Simmons is a good stopgap, maybe until Volpe's ready. But Hoff, listen, I've had a lot of moving parts in the last couple of months. He's gone, Velasquez, right?
He actually went to the Angels.
He did go to the Angels. I thought he did. Yeah, he's gone, John.
Well, good for him. I mean, he deserves a chance of playing every day.
Yep.
And like I said, to reiterate my point, I think I'm a big fan of old-fashioned baseball, and I don't think that every position has to be a great hitter. The most critical defensive position on the infield is shortstop, and if you have a good defender who can hit 230, 240, lay down bunts, move runners along, that should be the way baseball's played. I'm old-fashioned in that way.
Yeah. Yeah,
It's good when you can see that. It's very rare that you do. I mean, intentionally laying down bunts.
Thanks
for hits.
The call, John. That's where I was getting the bunts. That's not coming back. The bunts, but you know, he's not far. By the way, I was at Velasquez the game when Velasquez hit his first home run in the Bronx. That was awesome. His family was there. He pulled it down to right field. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I love that kid. I love the energy. Fordham Prep. I mean, listen,
27, right?
Yeah. That wasn't his first home run. He had a few before that, but. I mean, I listen, that kid was such a good story, and that's coming from a Xavier guy who hates Fordham Prep, especially on Thanksgiving when we play you guys in football. But he's right. I mean, when you have somebody in the middle of the diamond who could pick it, you know, the worst thing is to watch a team, especially if you watch him every night, that clogs the bases and is not scoring from first on a double or strikes out all the and just has a porous defensive infield. It's the worst. You know, for a couple of years, Yanks didn't even have a guy that could pick it at first base. At least Rizzo came in.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to me, I think it's going to be Olsen at first, Torres at second, whomever at short.
Yep.
And it could be Story. It could be Simmons. And then maybe a Chapman. And I like Urshela, but he could be a swing guy. Yeah, you can't give up these outs in the middle of the diamond. It's killed the Yankees for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Torres just can't play there. He's not a shortstop. Never will be. I don't care if he takes 1,000 grounders a day every single day for the next 2 years and barely gets a drink of water in between. He will never be a shortstop. He just won't be. Doesn't have the instincts. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney up until 2 on The Fan. Carton Roberts on deck.
The Fan is on your smart speaker. To listen to the home of New York sports, just say, hey, Google, play WFAN.
Tiki and Tierney on The Fan. Good stuff today. Great calls. Great stuff on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. 877-337-6666. Jody Mack was money. Sweetie Murdy was great. And Tiki, it's time to make a little scratch. You're too humble to say it, so let me say it for you. Tiki's been knocking these picks out of the park. Tiki's winning you a little loot.
That's right.
With our daily pick. And we get back to it. Now, would you have? You had the Warriors minus 15 last
minus
night.
Minus 15. They were winning by 36.
Uh-huh. And they won by 16.
They won by 16. So they barely covered, but they did. A couple weeks ago, or last week, I threw you on the Man U Aston Villa game.
Money line, you said.
Draw on the money line for plus 225. They were down 2-0. They ended up drawing, so that was a big one. The Golden State I got right last night. Here's a game, BT,
well,
tonight.
Let me first, I got to do the read here. It's brought to you by, see, Tiki is ready to go.
He's so eager.
I got you, brother. Brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. And by Wind Creek Bethlehem, it's go time.
You're gonna appreciate me on this one, BT.
You know, Johnny's Creighton?
Nope. I've been listening to Sharp Tierney for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
He used to beat my ass.
I did.
When we played head-to-head, really every year.
You never beat me 1 year.
And you would beat me because you would go overs. Over and unders.
The object is to make money, so why would I just go all sides if I like totals?
You were crushing it. So this one is a tough game to call. Chicago is hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers. Both these teams are hot, 27 wins on the season.
Okay, without Levine, by the way, for the Bulls.
That's right. Cleveland's laying 2.5 on the road, but I'm saying go 215. Go over 215.
Do the over.
Both these teams are going to get hot, even though Chicago's been on a little bit of a slide. I like both of them to play well.
All right, and there it is, our Tiki and Tierney daily pick. So we had Jody Mack on earlier, and Jody and I used to work together back in the day, and somebody sent this. They were trying to send it to me. I said, hook it up with our producer, Hoff, and then they got it to Hoff. So, Teek, this is from 2010, huh? 2010, 2011. This was our opening theme song back in the day, Mack and Tierney. Go ahead.
It's Mack and Tierney. It's Mack and Tierney. It's Mack and Tierney, breaking the back page down. It's Mack and Tierney, turn them on from 1 until 3 every day. Here on FD, call them up, they'll put you right through. Passionately talking sports from a New York view.
Yo, the Mack, the man seen it all, he knows more than you, but he'll still take your call. And BT, you see, is Brooklyn's best. He walks around with the Yanks and the Jets on his chest.
Yo, BT.
What's up?
It's Mack and Tierney.
Yo, Jody.
Uh-huh. I hear it.
It's Mack and Tierney.
1-3.
What's good?
It's Mack and Tierney. Breaking the back page down.
Oh,
it's Mack and Tierney.
Wow. There you go. Somebody found it. Who was the, let's give a little shout out. Who found that? What's his Twitter handle?
Well, we had a guy, he called yesterday.
No, that was a different.
No, different one?
Different theme song.
Sam I Am World Wire.
Sandy Boy.
Wow.
I want a theme song for this show.
I tell you, that
I
was
do.
Dope. That was dope.
I do.
Did Sam make that or who made that?
Sam made it. Sam made
Sam,
it.
Sam, get on this, dude.
Let's what go, Sam. Yep. Listen, you're the point man. So you guys have a direct contact.
Yep.
Take care of it.
It's all right. We got an IPA coming.
We haven't heard from that guy for a couple
of
weeks.
Well, we haven't because you shot down the image.
Well, because what did it say? It said like New England. What was it?
He worked it. Don't worry.
No. What was it called? New England.
New England. It was a New England style IPA.
Yeah. Why the hell would I want New England next to my name? I had to shoot it down. He tries to make me look like I'm not grateful. If I don't shoot this stuff down.
I didn't even realize it.
It didn't some register, of the aspects of the show with an iron fist.
It didn't register
it
in my head.
It will be horrendous.
It didn't register in my head.
You don't even look at this stuff. It's up to me to look at it.
I mean, I looked at
you
it.
You didn't look at it good enough. Because if you did, you would have noticed New England.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I want an equilibrium. Can equilibrium make it for us? You don't even know what I'm talking about.
No, I have no idea. I don't even know what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
It's equilibrium.
IPA?
Yeah, it's an IPA brand. They're up in
New
England. Upstate. No, they're right up where Tracy is in Middletown.
Gotcha. I know Middletown. Good baseball up there, actually. Yeah. Middletown's pretty good baseball. All right, let's get what's interesting here. We got a little Daniel Jones. I don't want to talk about him right now. you know, let's go to New Rochelle. John is on the fan, Tiki and Tierney. What up, John?
What's up, boys? Hey, first off, I've been listening for the last few weeks. You guys are doing a great job. Congrats on the gig, and great stuff.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Now to switch it up, but Tiki, I had a quick question for you. I actually coach youth soccer, and you know, we have some kids that are recruitable age right now. We have two twins that are actually getting some looks. And the question for you is, when you and Rondé were getting recruited, did you guys definitely want to go to the same school? How did that work out?
There was never a doubt that we were going to go to the same school. You're coaching them, correct?
Correct.
Are they tight? Are they like really tight? Like only talk to each other type of tight?
You know, it's funny. When they first joined the team, they definitely were.
Yeah.
And they've kind of got out of their shell a little bit, if that makes sense.
Well, that's good. But, so maybe they can go to school without each other. But me and Rondé were like that the whole time. We had friends, but we had the same friends. You know what I mean? So we knew that we had to be together when we went to college. And that's why when, I don't know, whoever started calling us, we kind of told them right away because they ask us straight out. You guys a package deal? Like, we're
$500,000 for both of us.
Don't give me a deal if you're not giving my brother a deal.
Which,
by the way, John, it was one of the great things we did because it allowed us to adjust to college, University of Virginia, obviously, really easily. Like a lot of kids go to school, and I'm seeing this with AJ, my oldest son, who's at Princeton now. You don't know anybody.
I had no problem adjusting. You make friends right away.
You were outgoing and loud.
Me and Rondé
were very shy.
Got it.
Growing up, so we went to college, and we were just able to adjust because we had a friend.
I got you.
If that makes sense. I hope that answers your question.
By the way, Hoff, can you imagine? I've always messed around with Tiki, but, and I know that Tiki would never do this, but could you imagine having a twin brother, all right? I mean, think about the possibilities. And then being on these recruiting trips, you guys went to Michigan.
No, we didn't go.
Michigan was stowed out. My bad. But imagine being as good as these guys were and going, wherever you want, really, kind of. Maybe not USC, Alabama, but pretty much wherever they wanted to go. How much fun you could have, if you set it up the right way with a twin brother. They didn't do any of that.
Yeah, you guys failed on that 100%.
They didn't fail.
None.
It's just who we were.
None.
I didn't have a sip of alcohol until I was in college.
Okay.
Tiki, what are you doing?
Wait, Hoff, I got it for the respect of the show. I've got to make sure I make sure you refrain from telling everybody what that first sip was. Because I know what it was, because I made the mistake of asking you years ago. Yeah, all right, go ahead. You know what?
It required Jolly Ranchers to make it.
Just tell
good.
Them what it was.
It was like an Appletini or something?
No, just tell them.
Zima.
Jeez. This guy.
When was the first time? When did you get facial hair?
Zima.
We didn't start growing. Probably we were in college as well.
Zima.
We thought we had facial hair. We'd trim it, but we didn't really have facial hair.
Well, that you can't control. Yeah, you can't control what you drink at your prom. Zima.
I have a Zima, please.
I didn't drink at my prom.
Oh, that's right, because your girlfriend said not to.
That's right.
I know that part, too.
She almost killed me.
The first drink that I ever had, should I tell you the grade?
No.
I'll tell you the grade.
Go ahead.
Sixth grade.
What?
But it seems a lot worse than it. That sounds like wildly irresponsible. Yeah. I get it. Number one, you got to understand the culture back then.
Mm.
Growing up where we grew up. And I'm not saying it was like the lawless. But Brooklyn's Brooklyn. Most of my friends were Irish.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, my dad is still to this day not a big drinker. A little wine, same with my mom. But a lot of my buddies, went down to Breezy Point with their families. And it was just part of the culture. And I'll never forget, we had the big basketball hoop in my backyard. And it was Pat, fireman now, Timmy, fireman, and Danny, who's in the union. Three great guys, man. And Chad was there, who played baseball at Seton Hall. The kid who almost made the majors with the Giants, AAA.
Yeah,
great player, Chad Frontera. So anyway, we have a summer basketball game that night, and my dad's the coach. And for some reason, he had a six-pack of beer, even though he's not a big drinker, six-pack of beer in our fridge, in my parents' fridge. And we didn't even have one each. Like, that would be misrepresenting what we did. We had a couple sips. But my dad smelled it on us when we went to the game to coach. And, you know.
Sat you down?
We were sixth grade. It's pretty young.
And did you play? Did he make you?
You know what? We did.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to win. And those guys were pretty good. Now, we did because he knew we were good kids.
Yeah.
And he knew them like they were almost like his son because he coached them in CYO. And he knew we weren't doing drugs or stealing cars. He's just like, guys, you know, that's not happening again. But then, like, in the eighth grade, I don't think they really cared that much. We'd sneak it.
After eighth grade, it was all good. After
well,
that.
You know, like again, different time. We're talking late 80s,
mm-hmm.
Brooklyn, highly Irish pop. You know what I mean? It was different. Now, if my son ever has a drink at the age of sixth grade, I'm going to blast him in the behind. Like, I'm going to go nuts. You know, it's just different. It's different. You know, this guy's drinking Zimas. We're stealing my dad's buds in the sixth grade.
In college,
a little different thing.
Jeez.
I know.
I think I did have a Zima in high school, maybe to try it.
Oh, I'm not saying you never tried it.
I didn't drink. Your first drink.
I didn't drink. I wasn't a drinker.
I think my first drink was like a 40, dude.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you go to college?
I went to Manhattanville for a little bit, but I didn't last very long.
Manhattanville. Not even Manhattan. You couldn't even make it to the Jaspers. I mean, no disrespect to Manhattanville, but what's their nickname? I'm not even sure.
I don't remember.
How do you not remember the nickname?
I was there for like three semesters.
It doesn't matter. You decided to go there out of high school.
What's the fight song?
Yeah. Oh, he definitely doesn't know the fight song.
No fight song.
I don't even know Marist's fight song.
What?
I don't know the fight song. Don't know. Nope.
And you claim this place.
Carton's a big Syracuse guy.
You know your fight song
for Boeheim? They're not that good this year.
Craig, you know your fight song? Do you know your fight? Craig, do you
he
know
says
your fight?
They should have been fired 20 years ago.
You don't know your fight song?
The Syracuse fight song?
Oh, he's got to know. He knows.
I have no idea.
You really don't know it?
No, I wish I did. I'm not even sure if we have one.
You have to have one.
We just keep embarrassing ourselves with Boeheim involved with the university.
You really want him gone, huh?
20 years ago.
Who's going to take over?
He's an embarrassment.
Wow.
Yeah, for a lot of reasons.
Okay, now there are some things there. Yeah. I get you.
Reason number one, Bernie Fine.
I got you. No, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
Yeah. No, you're right.
He's no better than Paterno was. Mm. It's an animal.
Got you. All right.
Well, hey, great seeing you guys. I'm feeling the love here.
Oh, well, you know your fight song.
You know the Virginia fight song?
Yeah, that good old How's song it go? Of Wahoo.
He knows it, Craig. He's a nerd. He knows
it. Sing it over and over. It fills our heart and warms our blood to hear them shout.
Sounds like
you know what's funny about that, though? Apparently, every fight song is based on the same music.
I'd love to sing.
It's like
old Lang Syne or something.
Right? Yeah.
You were not in the choir in college.
I was not.
Yeah, I could tell.
I was not.
And by the way, Craig, I hope the start of the show is a little more jovial than the Boeheim Scout report.
Hey, UVA. Nah,
nobody cares about UVA. We're not doing national anymore.
I got to go to the bathroom.
I know
Sorry,
my
brother.
Fight song. Neither one of you do.
We got Dove, Courtney do you Roberts know your fight song? We got Courtney Roberts. Teak.
Dove, do you know your fight song?
No.
You don't know your fight song. Hoff doesn't know his fight song. BT doesn't know his fight song.
Nope.
Craig doesn't know his fight song.
You know what I know?
I bet Evan doesn't know his fight song.
You know what I know? I know the Johnnies better be great tonight. Speaking of college, that's what I know. That's what I don't care about fight songs.
What's Johnny's fight song?
I don't know. I just care about beat. They need a quad one win. Have a great day. Carton Roberts next. Stick it here all day on The Fan. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.